morning. Today's scripture reading is from Joel chapter 2, 23 through 32. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army that I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the Lord, the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us close our eyes, and I invite you to pray with me in your hearts. God, thank you for your word. May you now speak to us. May your spirit open our hearts to understand, to receive your message for us this morning. I pray for each and everyone here today. I know you brought them here for a purpose, God. They might not know what that purpose is, but you do. And may this be an opportunity for them to experience your wisdom and your love. Speak to us now as we listen. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Lieutenant Kelly Stutz works for the Roanoke County Fire and Rescue in Virginia. And in July of 2024, he was off duty when he heard a huge outcry coming from a nearby swimming pool. He rushed to the scene and saw that a three-year-old boy was in trouble. His lips were blue, he didn't appear to be breathing, and he had no pulse. His parents thought that he was gone, you know, forever. So Stutz, a father himself, knew that he needed to help this little boy, and working for a fire and rescue organization, he was trained to provide CPR, of course, and so he did. And a few minutes later, as though touched by the hand of God, the little boy started breathing and became responsive. And his parents said it was a miracle. And they were sobbing. And Lieutenant Stutz agreed and said, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. God puts strong people in the right places at the right time for the events to happen. And I'm fortunate that I was there. So in Rockford, Michigan, a 17-year-old girl had been missing for 6 weeks. And one Sunday morning, also in July of 2024, a mother was taking her children to church. And she noticed a girl with a bike who very closely resembled the appearance of the missing teenager. And soon it was confirmed. I honestly feel like it was a God thing. The woman said to the reporters that we passed her at that time, that she looked up, that we made eye contact, and that I saw her face. It was like God wanted me to see her there. I think we all know the phrase, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. You might hear it when someone miraculously recovers from a serious illness, or when someone is looking for a job and just in time an opportunity comes out of nowhere, or when a disaster is avoided at the last moment. But what about, you know, when life doesn't go that way? When the illness doesn't get better? When the job offer doesn't come through? When the disaster does, you know, strike? When you're definitely not thinking it's a God thing. I mean, you're not even thinking it's a good thing. Like over the past few years, I mean, we've seen a global pandemic that upended life as we knew it. There have been natural disasters like hurricanes, many earthquakes, wildfires that forced evacuations, even killed many people. There have been wars, economic uncertainty, and I'm sure many personal struggles. And so in our text for today, you know, the prophet Joel is responding to some catastrophes that have his country in despair. He's dealing in hard times, and he's dealing in hope. And he's speaking to people who have seen the devastation, if you read the context, of locusts destroying all of their crops. So the land has been dry, the land has been barren. Life has been really, really hard. But now something amazing happens, and Joel now points to restoration with an exciting word from the Lord. And he says in verse 23, O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. And then he refers to early rain and abundant rain, threshing floors that are full of grain, the vats that overflow with wine and oil, and there's joy again. And at this moment, I mean, it's easy to say it's a God thing. But where was God when the locusts were devouring the land? So let me ask you, okay, if we only call good things God things, does that mean God is absent in the hard times? So here's the thing about faith. Faith doesn't mean everything happens for a divine reason. Faith means we can find reason, hope, and strength because God is with us no matter what. So what if we've been looking at this phrase all wrong? What if a God thing isn't just about what happens to us, but about what happens in us when we walk by faith? And I think this is what the prophet Joel teaches us. Because he speaks to a people who have lived through disaster. I mean, they've seen the crops that they depended on fail. They've known hunger and loss and fear. But now he calls them to rejoice because restoration is coming. And here's the key, their faith is what makes it a God thing. And so what we need to learn is that with God's help, even our hardest moments can become part of something greater. Because you see, Joel's audience, I mean, they knew all about suffering. Before this moment of joy, they had endured complete devastation. It says earlier in chapter 1, verse 4, swarm after swarm of locusts has attacked our crops, eating everything in sight. So the crops had been wiped out, their land had been stripped bare, their joy had been turned into mourning. But the people of Israel understood that even this was a God thing. When locusts devoured their fields, it was a God thing. When drought gripped the land, it was a God thing. When enemy armies ravaged their towns, it was a God thing. They recognized that God wasn't just in the restoration, God was also in the ruin. I mean, now for us today, I mean, I think this is a difficult truth to accept, right? Because we live in a world that tries to explain away hardship. We attribute our misfortune to disasters and natural causes and market fluctuations and human error or just bad luck. And yet Scripture tells us that God is sovereign over all things, that God reigns supreme over all of creation, that He has absolute authority and control over everything that happens. Does this mean God is causing suffering? Not necessarily. But it does mean that God is present in it, that God is working through it, that God is redeeming it for maybe reasons only God knows. Remember, God is God, and we are not. And it says in Romans, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Because you see, God is at work, not just in the good things, but in all things. And we call this God's providence, the belief that God is actively involved in governing and sustaining the events of the universe and all the events through divine wisdom, power, and love. It means that God is actively upholding and guiding and caring for creation. It means that all things happen not by chance, but according to His will to accomplish His ultimate purpose. That He has a divine plan that shapes all of existence, from the grandest events to the smallest details. And God's providence means God will provide. God will look after us. Now, of course, all of this is, you know, harder to believe when life is difficult. But the truth is, God is not just sovereign in those thrilling moments of life. God is in everything. And everything is a God thing if we are children of God. And the ancient Hebrews clearly understood this. So now you have two ways to respond to this. You can believe that God is in control of everything, or you can believe that God is in control of nothing. Now we've talked about the first option, that God is sovereign, and He is, in His providence He provides. And the second option would say, no, it's not a God thing. Instead, you know, life just happens. We get sick. We have accidents. We get passed over for promotions. Our house is destroyed in a hurricane. Stuff happens. So we're talking about fatalism. We're talking about determinism. The idea that all events, including human action, are ultimately determined by causes external to the will. But our faith is what makes it a God thing. So as people of faith, what do? We trust God in the trials. When the rain doesn't come, we still trust. When the locusts devour, we still believe. When hardships arise, we still hold on to faith. We remember that God is always working because we're spiritually mature enough to know that what looks like devastation may simply be preparation. That what seems like a delay may actually be a divine setup. Or that what feels like a loss may be making way for something greater. So do you then know what makes something a God thing? It is when we experience peace in the storm. It is when we find strength to keep going. It is when we look back and see how God carried us. It is when we discover purpose in our pain. So the real miracle isn't just when circumstances change. It is when we change because of our faith. And so you have a choice in how you view the world. I mean, God is in control of everything, which means God is present in our suffering as well as our joy. And that God can redeem even the hardest moments for the greater glory of God. Or God is in control of nothing. Life is existentially and absurdly random. And we are just victims of chance. And there's no meaning at all in suffering, only chaos. So as believers, if we can keep the faith, then we don't need to panic when life gets hard. We have hope even in the worst circumstances. Why? Because everything is a God thing, and suffering is never wasted. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, when life gets hard, it's difficult for us to believe that you're also in that. Help us to understand today that you are sovereign, that you are in control, that even when things happen that causes us to suffer, there's still meaning in that suffering, that you will never abandon us. Help us to find some purpose in our pain. Help us to continue to rely on you in faith, even when things are hard. May we give you glory for your blessings. May we also praise you for your presence in the midst of everything we endure. Bless us, God, with the faith we need. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.